new series.
What we got, Roger? Oh, no. Oh, no. Listen, we're going to talk today about family secrets. Let's fix them folks up. There we go. Hush your mouth. Don't tell it. We got a series over the next 5 weeks. I always do a family series from Mother's Day to Father's Day. Okay? I always do that. Mother's Day to Father's Day, a 5-week family series. And that's what we're doing, just like we always do. So we're going to do it this spring, summertime. So I've entitled this Family Secrets. Family Secrets. Well, we can tell some, couldn't we? Say.
Some things are better left unsaid.
But there is a book in the Bible. It's called the Book of Ruth. And we're going to look at the Book of Ruth. And we're not just going to stay in the Book of Ruth. Primarily we are. But we're going to find out this is a weird situation. This is a weird family. You're going to find in this family, you know, some folks that worshipped false gods and idols and heathens. And God used them, for crying out loud. Reached them. Change your heart and life. We're going to see a prostitute that was used in the plan of God to bring us King David and ultimately Jesus Christ our Lord. So when we get so high and mighty, thinking we're so holier than everybody else, I'm telling you what, you know, God has a secret plan that's going on that I can't figure out. That's the plan of God. It's crazy. He uses all kinds of folk. Amen? Uses all of us, and He can use you in your life. So we're going to look at this whole story, and we're going to try to draw some things out of it. Today's Mother's Day, and the message that we're going to do this morning is this. The secrets to enduring difficulties. The secrets to enduring difficulties. Are y'all with me so far? Now, you can't go sleep on this message, okay? That's the deal. Okay, you have my permission. If somebody's sleeping, you just smack them. Whatever happens after that's your problem, all right? But anyway, the secrets to enduring difficulties. There's just something about mothers. They're strong. When Elise was about probably, I don't know how old was she, a year old? How much? 6 months? 6 months old. She stands up. She still walks like, no, I'm just kidding. She stands up. Upstairs, I don't know where we were, but all of a sudden, boom, 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 the baby fell down the stairs. All the way down the stairs! Just scared me to death, and she wasn't moving. Just at the bottom. You know, I thought she was dead. I go ballistic, grab the baby, grab Joy, screaming bloody murder, crying like crazy, and Joy's just, let's go, we can do it, let's get to the hospital, she's straight. And I'm like, all the... There's something about a mother that has this strength. It's crazy. My mother had it. I know so many mothers. Y'all like that too, say. And so my mommy, mama's just strong. Well, we took Elise to the hospital, and the doctor told us she was going to be fine because babies' heads are like that. They can bounce and everything. Go figure. Go figure. We'd have been dead if we'd have been, but she was fine, and she's here today. God bless you. Amen. It happened. Then I remember one time Mitch was out, you know, probably 12, 13 years old, and he was using something to jump on and then slam the basketball. You know, slam the basketball. It was one of those goals that, you know, it's not stationary, it's movable, and you're supposed to have a lot of water and sand in it so it doesn't fall over. Well, he slams it, and he's hanging onto the rim like Michael Jordan. You know, and we're inside the house, and all of a sudden, Elise screams. And I go outside, and she says, Mitchell's hurt! And we go outside, and Mitchell's just got blood all down his face. What had happened, the goal fell over on him. He fell backwards, and the goal comes, and he turns his head, and it hits him in the side, and cracks his skull open. And blood is no joke. What do I do? Somebody guess.
Scream.
Well, let's see, scream. You know, Joy goes, it'll be okay. Let's get in the car. Come on. I don't know how women do that. Okay? Mamas. My mama had that. And women have to endure unbelievable hardship. And I just love mothers. It's amazing. And the secret today to enduring difficulties. A lot of mothers have tremendous difficulties, yet they stay steady. Fellas, we have them too, and we're going to learn from this story. We're going to see it today in three women in this opening story. So let's go with it, Raj. Let's see what's up on the big screen today. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are to endure difficult situations. I'm not saying we're going to get over them. I haven't got over the murder of my mother 12 years ago. I'm not over it. If you're looking for me to get over it, it probably ain't going to happen. Okay? Still bothers me. Still troubles me. I still have nightmares occasionally. It bothers me to this day, my mother's murder. Am I enduring it? Yeah, I'm enduring it. Is it hard? Sure. But we have difficult situations. Some seem worse than others. But we have to endure hardness and hard times. But there's some secrets that we can find in today's story. At least I've sort of found some things that help my life. Some other scriptures as we get going this morning. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that what? Endures temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I think of Joseph. We studied Joseph in the early service this morning. He had to endure unbelievable things. He had to endure temptation. When he was working at Potiphar's house, he was overseer. The woman wanted him to have sex with her, to lay with him. The Potiphar's wife, he had to endure that. He said, no, no, no. So she grabbed his clothes, tried to attack the guy. He ran. And then she said, he raped me. Enduring difficulty, enduring hardness. Unbelievable. It's going to happen. We're going to have to bear up under pressures in life. Let's keep moving. Some other scripture. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing also we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do I do it? Look unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He sat at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that what? Endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So today is the secret to enduring difficulties. Now let's play a game, can we? Y'all ready? How many remember this game? Family feud, family feud. Here we go. Now I'm not meaning to be funny, because this isn't funny. This little book we're reading ain't funny. The story ain't funny. Okay? But at least we might can have fun. Alright, here we go. Family feud. Here's our question today. Top two answers to the most difficult thing a mother or wife may endure. Top two answers to the most difficult thing a mother or wife may endure. I'd like you to holler out what you think the number one thing that would be the hardest thing for a mother to endure. Say it, say it. Death of a child. Survey says, death of a child. Not trying to make light of that. That's horrible. It's horrific. It's terrible. But that is the hardest thing that a mother may ever have to endure, is burying one of her children. Let's look at number two answer. Top two answers to the most difficult thing a mother or wife must endure. So that's number one. What do you think number two is? Shout it out. Boom. Let's check it out. Death of her husband. Okay? Those two things we see. Now, would that be difficult? Say. Yeah. Unbelievable difficulties. And we can learn from this story in the book of Ruth on how to endure difficult situations and troubles that come our life. So let's look at it now. Let's go to our message this morning and see what we find. Ruth 1:1. If you have your Bible, open it there. If you've got it, we'll have it on the big screen for you. But it's a great idea. It's back after. You got Joshua, Judges, and then Ruth. The little book of Ruth, only four chapters long. And here at Fellowship, we believe the Bible. You might wonder, why y'all ain't doing the Bible? We don't have anything else. We have nothing else. We don't need anything else. We've got the Word of God. But we need to study all of it, okay? So we did Song of Solomon recently. And here's a little book you might go, Ruth? Yeah, we're going to look at Ruth. And we're going to look at some family secrets on the next several weeks that we see out of this book about his lives. Ruth 1:1. Follow along with me. So we see the death of a child or children would be number one. Death of a husband would be number two. Let's see what we see in this book. Secrets to overcoming difficulties. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, that's Bethlehem, a little town of Bethlehem, same place, went to sojourn. That word sojourn means to stay for a while. It doesn't mean to stay there forever. It means to go to that land for a while. He went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. That's about 60 miles away by foot, okay? It came to pass that some things were happening. When was it taking place? The story takes place when the judges ruled. Can you say that with me? When the judges, one more time, we got to get us going. Here we go. When the judges ruled. This story takes place when the judges ruled. The judges ruled for about 200 years or so. And this was a time in the nation of Israel when men did what was right in their own eyes. And God would raise up judges, and these judges would make decisions and judge the people and stand before God on their behalf. But most of these judges were corrupt. And it was a horrible time of sin, and it was rampant. And you know what? God judged Israel because of their behavior. And so there were real problems in Israel taking place. There was a famine. Judges 21:25 says, in those days there was no king in Israel before the monarchy was set up. Every man did what? Say it with me. Which was right in his own eyes. So there was problems in Israel. And there was a famine in the land. How did the famine come about? We're not told how the famine came about. But we see in the book of Judges that God would raise up evil countries to attack Israel, to come in, because Israel's His chosen people. They're not living for God. They would come in, they would raid the territory, they would raid the crops, they would kill the folks, and there they're left homeless, they're left without any food or anything. And you know what? That's what you get when you live your life the way you want to live your life. And you want to do what's right in your own eyes. God was trying to draw His people back to Him. So there was a famine in the land. Pop the verse up. So there's a man. We're going to meet him in just a little bit. There was a famine in the land, and he left Bethlehem, and he went to an idolatrous country, a place where they didn't worship Jehovah God, where they worshiped Ashtaroth and Chemosh and these false gods. So can you believe that a man like that would leave his own country and go to another area? Yes, I can believe it, and I would do the same thing. Okay? If my family was starving to death, Clark would get the family, and we'd go to where we could find something to eat. Are you hearing me today? The Bible says, if any man provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he's denied the faith and he's worse than infidel. So I don't have a hard time with Elimelech. We're fixing to meet him. I don't have a hard time with Elimelech taking his wife and his two sons, wherever he had to go. By the way, he went to Moab, where he could find food to eat for his family. That's what the man did. Okay? That was the plan. Let's keep moving with our story. Ruth 1:2. At the name of the man was Elimelech. Say that with me. Elimelech. The name of his wife, say that one with me. Naomi. The name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. That just means they were from Bethlehem, from that region of Israel. Okay, it's only about 5 miles or so from Jerusalem. They came into the country of Moab, which is on the other side of the Dead Sea. They continued there. So because of the famine, they left where? Help me now, they left where? Bethlehem, and they went to where? Moab, which is about 60 miles away. Elimelech, the man's name means my God, it's king. Very unusual name, Elimelech. I don't know if Elimelech might have been one of the religious leaders. Okay, this makes the story a little worse. I mean, here's maybe one of the religious leaders that's leaving Bethlehem. Of course, that's where David would be born. That's where Jesus would be born. He left Bethlehem to go to a heathen area on the other side of the Dead Sea, where heathen lived, and took his family. But as I said, I do the same thing. Let's keep moving. His wife was Naomi. Her name means sweet and pleasant. Can you say that with me? Her name means sweet. Now that's the kind of woman we want. Amen. Right there, right now. Give me that sweet, pleasant woman. So that's what her name means. So here's the family. And they are now in a famine in Bethlehem. Elimelech's taking his wife and two sons, and they're going about 60 miles or so to a place called Moab. Moab is located, here's some verses about Moab. You can find that, where did the Moabites come from? It's a horrible story in the Bible, where the Moabites came from. Genesis 19:36-37. You might remember the story of Lot. Remember that? And all the descendants were destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah. And after that, Lot's daughters wonder, we don't have us a man to carry on our father's name, our father's posterity. This is a real secret. Listen to this. They got their daddy drunk. Had intercourse with their dad. Excuse me. Okay? It's in the Bible. Read it. I don't like it either. And they got their father drunk, had him lay with them, and both of the daughters got pregnant from their daddy. Okay? And so here's what the Bible says. Thus were both the daughters of Lot withdrawn by their father. The firstborn bare a son and called his name what? Boy, the plot thickens here, right? Old Elimelech, he leaves where? Bethlehem, and he goes where? Moab. Can't you find another place to go? You know what I'm saying? But again, Moab was in an area where it rained about 16 inches a year, which is huge over there. So there was food, and the man went where he could feed his family, and that's what he did. Okay? So that's where Moabs and Moabites come from. I think we got something else on Moabites, Deuteronomy 23:3-4. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. That means the tabernacle. They couldn't worship in the tabernacle. These two types of folks. Even their tenth generation, I mean, they were serious. You know what I'm saying? You're a Moabite, we're going to check you out. We back. You ain't coming to our place and worship. And that's how they felt. They couldn't enter the congregation of the Lord. This wasn't how they felt. This was the law of God, by the way. You with me so far? Are you wondering where is he going? I am too. Here we go. All right? Because why would they not let him come in? Was it because of the Lot deal? Not necessarily. It was because the Moabites, they couldn't worship in the tabernacle because when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt in the Exodus, remember Moses in the Exodus? When they were leaving, they were not met with bread and water in the way when they came forth out of Egypt. That means the Moabites didn't help them. They didn't help them at all. Get out of here. Hear this huge crowd and the Egyptians on their tail and they wouldn't help them. And they said, because of that, you can't worship in the tabernacle to the 10th generation. And so this is where the man went. So here's the story. Now what's a little smiley face guy? We got him moving. So here's Elimelech's family. They're starving to death. There's a famine in the land. And there they go. They went over the Dead Sea down into Moab. And that's where our story takes place. Are y'all with us? It's important that you understand where we're at. Now let's keep moving. What do we see in verse 3? So the number one thing would be the death of a child. Number two would be the death of a husband. Verse 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, what? Died. And she was left with her two sons. How many has ever known a mama to raise her youngins by herself? She had two. You know some people like that? I'll tell you something. Something I can't stand, horrible, is a deadbeat dad. I can't stand it. I mean, somebody don't take care of the children, I just soon wrap them square in the mouth and confess it later. I'm serious. I think that's horrible. People don't take care of the children. That's insane. I know I get a little violent sometimes. But you know, I haven't hit anybody yet. It's been a long time. So I'm just all talk. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, that's how I feel. A deadbeat dad that doesn't take care of his children. Dads, you need to take care of your kids. Let me tell you something. I've told more than one woman who's come to see me for counsel. And then the husband tries to sneak back in after he slept around with every woman in town for a year. And the woman's on her own, and she's making it with the two kids, and now he sees she's making it, and he wants back in the picture. You know, hey, I'm all for marriage, just staying together. Hope they can. But I've told more than one, you know what? You'd be better off without that jerk. Right there. Because without repentance, without putting your faith in Christ, without a change, what's it going to be? Just mooching again. You know what I'm saying? But this woman, she lost her husband. Her husband died. When did he die? My opinion is that he died early. I believe he died when they got to Moab. I believe he died early on in Moab. It was quite a journey. The stress, who knows what? The diseases they caught him. I have no idea. But he died. I want you to know something. This is part of the plan of God. We don't understand. Next week I'm going to talk about the secret plan of God. The secret plan of God. We think we've got God figured out. We do not even have a clue how God works. It's crazy. This man died. It was part of God's plan. Very well could have been part of God's judgment. And she was left with her two sons. Verse 4. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. Do you think that was acceptable, a good thing or not? Yes or no? No. Sounds like to me they took these women. Their own youngins wouldn't be able to worship in the tabernacle for 10 generations. Do you see, you hear what I'm saying? So they took them wives of the women of Moab. The one was Orpha. That ain't Oprah. Oprah's a lady with a TV show. This is Orpha. Okay, Orpha. Her name means stiff-necked. What's going to name me? Anyway, let's go pick on it later. Here we go. The name of the other was Ruth. Her name means friendly, friendship. And they dwelled there about how many years? Somebody tell me.
10 years.
Now, I don't think that was the plan of God either. I don't think the plan of God was for them, the will of God, you know, but then who am I? It wouldn't seem like it's the plan of God, but all this worked out in the will of God. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's just confusing. So they stayed there 10 years. They married Moabite women. That doesn't seem right, does it? Say, how can that be right? God sure works everything together for good. Amen? How many have ever done something just horribly wrong in your life? And God has helped it all work out. And you're here alive and well today. And you're still plugging along. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have that kind of God. And He works this kind of stuff. So let's keep moving. 3 dead husbands and 2 dead sons. Look at this verse. And Mahlon and Chilion died. Both of them. And the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. Some serious difficulty, isn't it? She's lost her husband. She's lost her 2 sons. And you know what we're stuck with now in this story? Somebody tell me. 3 what? Widows. A mother-in-law, 2 daughter-in-laws. 3 dead husbands, 2 dead kids. How in the world can you endure difficulty like that? That's the secrets to that. We're going to see some secrets to enduring difficulty. We're doing good if we hang in here. The secrets to enduring difficulty. I've got 5 of them this morning. I think you ought to write them down. If you get a chance or get the video sometime, if you'd like, and check it out. But 5 secrets to enduring difficulties. I've seen them in this passage. And this ain't the Da Vinci message last week. That was exciting for me, the Da Vinci. This is exciting to me. I don't like talking on Mother's Day necessarily about, you know, 3 widows and 3 dead husbands and 2 dead kids. But you know what? I just felt like this was God's will. Where I need to study right now is where I'm going. And I just, this reminds me of my mother. Mama was tough. Mama bore up. Mama could handle it. You understand what I'm saying? And she just kept on putting that one foot right in front of the other. How many had mamas like that? So, it's the way it was. What mama did. How do you endure difficulty? Because you're going to have an ancient mama. So, it's going to happen. So how do you endure? Stay with me. Here we go. Number 1. How do you do it, preacher? From the story today. Say that with me. Know that God still loves you. Know that God still loves you. Just because you have difficulty doesn't mean God quit loving you. Just because your child would die or your husband would die does not mean God has quit loving you. Now that's what Satan wants you to believe. Are you hearing me today? Say it. He wants you to think that God doesn't care for you. He wants you to think that God doesn't love you. But you need to know that God still loves you. Ruth 1, 6, and 7. Let's look at the verses. So what happened? She, Naomi, arose with her 2 daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. She wanted to leave that place, ain't she? For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people and giving them bread. She heard that back in Israel, back in Bethlehem, which by the way means house of bread, that God has visited His people again. So she somehow knew that God still cared. Have you ever been there before? Where you heard like a dog, but something inside of you says, God still loves me. God still cares. And that's what was happening. Verse 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. So they're going to go back 60 miles. Back, 3 women, 3 widows. Can you imagine such a thing? Walking through that desert terrain. I've been there, but I usually travel it by a bus. You know what I'm saying? It's all right in an air-conditioned Mercedes bus. That's the way I like to go. But anyway, they did it by foot. So the first thing to enduring difficulties is you need to know that God still loves you. God still loves you. God still cares. She didn't run further away from God. There was something inside of her that said that God still loved us. God is for us. We can make it. And she's got something inside of her. That doesn't mean that she isn't hurting like crazy. We'll see that she is. Number 2. What do you do when you're enduring difficulties? How do you do it? Number 2. Be careful not to overlook the people that love you and care about you. What do we do when we hurt? We clam up. We become a recluse. People try to help us soft and we push them away. Anybody else going to be able to do that other than me? We can make it. You know, we just sort of, you know, push them away. So you need to know, if you're here today, mama, dad, whoever you are, listen to me. If you're hurting today, listen to me. Difficult situation in your life, listen. I need you to know today. And you need to be careful to not overlook people that love you. Okay? This is a church. We love you. We care about you. But I believe there's probably even somebody closer than probably this congregation body here, maybe, to you that does love you and does care about you. But in your pain, we push them away. Okay? Let's look at the scripture. What happened? Let's read the next several verses. So here she is. They're going to make their journey. She's going to make her journey back. And here's what she says. Naomi, who lost her husband and two kids, she says to her two daughters-in-law, return each to her mother's house. Girls, you don't need to go with me. Go back to your mama. But to me, that makes good sense, quite frankly. Doesn't it? Why do they need to hang with her? Boy, Naomi must have been some sweet, pleasant woman. Amen? I mean, there's not many daughter-in-laws that'll hook up with their mother-in-law like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you. And so they did. They were so close. She said, return to your mama's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. These girls loved Naomi. And they loved her sons. And she says, the Lord deal kindly with you. But she's at the same time, can you sort of be in it, say? She does care for them. It probably might be the best thing, but there's also that she's sort of pushing them away. Pushing them away. We do it all the time. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and they cried together. Can you see them? They've all suffered a common pain. Let's keep moving. And they said unto her, surely we'll return unto you, with you and to your people. We're going with you, Naomi. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Now listen to this. Watch it. Listen. Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husband? Who knows what the custom was? The custom, it's important that you know this in this Family Secret Series. The custom was, when the husband died, of these two girls, when the husband died, that the brother would take the wife. She would become his wife. Whether we like it or not, that was the way it was. She would become his wife. They would have a child together, and that child would carry on the dead father's name. Does that make sense to you? That's how it worked. Does Naomi have any more sons? Yes or no? Uh-uh. She's an old woman. That's what she's saying. She's feeling like that. She says, are there yet any more sons in my womb? They're going to be your husband? What's wrong with you girls? You wait around, you're going to wait 16, 18 years, whatever. Now, the girls did get married young then, but still, just craziness. Let's keep moving. Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. Can't you feel it? I mean, yes, she's right. But at the same time, they really love her, and she's sort of pushing. For I'm too old to have a husband. And if I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband, also tonight, we found a sucker tonight. And I said, fair sons, look, would you tarry for them till they're grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? No, my daughters, it grieves me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. You with me so far? So there isn't any more babies coming out of Naomi. Ain't happening. Okay? I don't care what the custom is. You're going to be lonely women. That's what she's saying. Pushing them away, but it is true. Verse 14. They lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha, not Orpha, kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. What happened? Hear me out. What happened? Orpha kissed her mother-in-law. What does that mean? Kiss a goodbye kiss. Is Orpha a bad person, yes or no? No! It makes common sense to me that she'd stay with her mother in her own homeland and find another husband. Not go way back to Bethlehem where she don't even know. Well, they don't even like her, for crying out loud. Okay? But Ruth clave unto her. That word clave means glue. 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 Isn't it interesting that Ruth's name means friend? And you know what? If you call yourself a friend, you ought to be glue. How many fair weather friends, huh? They're with you when everything's going good. But a real true friend is like glue. I hope you remember that. Ruth's name means friend, and clay means glue. So be careful not to overlook people that love you and care about you. Verse 15, and Naomi said to Ruth, behold your sister-in-law, she's going back to her people and to her gods. Return thou after your sister-in-law. Go on, girl. Get out of here. Five things to help you endure difficulty. Know God still loves you. Number two, be careful not to push away people that love you and care for you. That's what Naomi's doing. Can you feel it? Even though she's right, I feel it. Number three, don't allow disappointments to blind you to the opportunities for healing. Sometimes we hurt so bad that we just don't even want to be healed. You ever been there? Say, the hurt's so bad, you know? And maybe that's how you're feeling today. But you know what? When we focus on the hurt all the time, you know what? People can hurt us. People can abuse us. Things can happen in our life that we don't have any control over many times. But you know what? You do have control of your attitude. No one can force an attitude on you. Nobody can change your attitude. You give up that attitude. Okay? So if you want to be down in the dumps, if you want to be sad, if you want to be bitter, if you want to be angry all the time, if you want to say, poor, woe is me, even if you're right, even if you feel that way and we agree with you, it's still yours to give up your attitude. Keep a good attitude. How many people with a bad attitude don't get better? Say, zero. How many people have you known that went through hard times and they kept a good attitude and they made it? Show your hands. Let me see your hands. They made it? Hallelujah. Listen, don't allow those disappointments to blind you to the opportunities for healing. Let's see the next few verses. Now, this is the famous verses of the book of Ruth. Many times they're repeated at a wedding ceremony. Look at what Ruth said. This is glue, I'm telling you. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you, Naomi, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Thy God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. I will be buried. The Lord do to me and more also, if aught but death part you and me. Unbelievable. Naomi, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking to her. How many had a mama like that? That if mama said it, forget it. You may as well hush. Did you have a mama like that? I did. Now mama said it. When the baby made mama, how that happened? Hush. Forget it. You bargained on the wrong tree. That's the way Ruth was. Ruth was so determined. And Naomi finally said, all right, girl, come on. All right? But it was almost, pop that back up one more time, Raj. She almost allowed her disappointment to blind her to the opportunity that waited ahead of her. Here's my personal opinion, working with people for years. I believe Naomi would have walked through those hills, the Judean hills, back up from Moab. I believe Naomi would have walked right off one of the cliffs. That's my personal view. I don't believe Naomi would have ever made it home if it hadn't been for Ruth. I believe she just got, I think she was so frustrated, so hurt, because we sit a little later. I think she just probably stepped off one of those cliffs and said, I end it all right here. Don't allow disappointments to blind you to the opportunities for healing. Don't say it's over when it ain't over. Okay? You still have a chance to heal, to get better, to have life beyond this disappointment. Ruth 1, 16 through 18, we saw that already. Thank you, Rise. Let's move on. Verse 4. What's the fourth secret? We're getting close. Come on, here we go. Don't hide your pain. Say that with me. Don't hide your pain. Now, what am I meaning by that? I'm not talking about every time you got a little ache, start whining. How many love whiners? I ain't seen no hands, all right? We don't like whining. We're not talking about don't hide your runny nose, okay? Hide that, okay, please. But serious pain, serious disappointment, serious hurt in your life. Don't hide your pain. Here's what happened. We're almost done at the end of the chapter. So the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. They made the journey together, 60 miles. Plus, these two women trekking through the wilderness. It came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them and said, "Is this Naomi?" It had been 10 years. You think she looked different? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think she looked a whole lot different. That's why I think they may have been a prominent family. I don't know. Because they certainly recognized her when she came into town. "Is this Naomi? Is this Miss Sweet Thing? Is this Miss Pleasant? Is this Naomi?" Verse 20. She said unto them, "Call me not Naomi." Say this part with me. "Call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." What's the word Mara mean? Somebody know? Bitter. Bitter. What's the opposite of Naomi? Bitter. What's the opposite of sweet? Bitter. She was so hurting. She was hurting. But you know what she did? She didn't try to couch it, did she? When she came to town, "Hey, Naomi, come on, Naomi, go see Naomi." And she's like, "Yeah, this is y'all too." How often do we do that? Well, I'm talking about some serious difficulty in your life and hurt in your life. If you mask that with a little, you're going to lose it, man. It's a good thing to share your pain. Okay? I'm not saying share it with anybody in the world. Maybe there's that person who's glued. Amen? That you can share that with. You have got to let some of that mess out. You've got to let some of that disappointment occur out. Are you hearing me today? I'm not trying to be a psychologist. Okay? This just makes good plain sense to me. You got to let some of this stuff out. Don't hide your pain. Here's the deal. The secret is to not hide your secret. The secret is to not hide your secret. I've had a number of people come to me over the years, talk to me about things they've done in their life or things, situations. Listen, I'm not saying air all your dirty laundry, everything you've ever done. But the same thing, I've done terrible things. I was a sinner. But I don't mind. I'm not going to air everything I've ever done. However, hey, praise the Lord. He glorifies God. He saved me from all that crap. Amen? He saved me from that mess, that hell. So, if you need to share some things, share it. But they won't like me if I share that. If your friends don't like you for sharing the truth, they don't like you anyway.
Right.
Okay? But wait a minute. I forget it, man. Share your pain. The thing is, heal. Heal. Get some healing. Don't hide your secret. It's amazing when you let out your secret sometimes, the mouths just hush. how can they talk when you go ahead and tell them the truth? How can they talk about you when you go ahead and share the mess you've gone through, the hurt that you've gone through, instead of masking it? The secret's not to hide your secret. Don't hide your pain. Here's the last thing this morning. Take personal responsibility. Can you say that with me? Take personal responsibility. If you're waiting for somebody else to come along and make you better, wave a little wand on you. It ain't going to happen, friend. Nobody else can make you better. Nobody else can give you a new attitude other than Jesus Christ. It's your attitude. It's your choice. Listen, take personal responsibility. You don't know what I've been going through. I know. I understand. Listen. But you've got to take personal responsibility. Two things. Pop it up. Naomi says to the people, "I went out full." Well, she went out, didn't she? It'd been a famine. But the way she looked at it, she had her husband and her two babies, right? Her two youngins. "And the Lord's brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord had testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" I think Naomi was taking some personal responsibility for decisions her family made. I don't think it was wrong to go there and find something to eat. The Bible says they continued there 10 years. The Bible says the sons took what kind of wives? Moabite wives. Okay? And whether we like it or not, that was forbidden in the law. And they did that. It wasn't necessarily forbidden that they would marry them, but certainly when you look at the scope of the Scripture, you'd think that would not be a good decision. And I think it could be that Naomi knew they should have left years ago. How many of you have known a woman that just sort of kept quiet because the husband was... She had a whole different opinion. She had a different opinion altogether. The husband was just dead wrong. And so I think she's taking some personal responsibility. She's saying, I don't think she's blasting out at God. She's saying the truth. The Lord has testified against me. The hand of the Almighty has been against me. She's acknowledging that God has come against her. Have you ever done that before, sir? You ever made stupid decisions and dumb things and sin in your life, and you fouled up and you said, you know, this is what I deserve because I did wrong and this is God's judgment on my life. You ever been there? I have. I think this is what she said. She's taking personal responsibility. Two things. Quickly, do your part. Do your part. Do your part. If you're hurting and somebody hurts you and it's 99% them and 1% you, then why don't you just do what you can do? Amen? Keep that attitude. Do what you can do. Do your part to get to the place where you can just endure and keep moving. Number two, remember your roots. R-U-T-H-S. Or R-U-T-H-S's. Remember your roots. What am I saying? There are people counting on you. There are people counting on you. How many mothers, you don't have to raise your hand, but you just kept going because you knew, hey, people were counting on you. Amen? There were babies counting on you. There was a family counting on you. There was a husband counting on you. Listen, remember your roots. By enduring your difficulty and not giving up and quitting, listen to me, you are taking responsibility also for others. Does that make you, it makes good sense to me. You might say, what's the big deal of Ruth? She could have stayed there in Bethlehem. I mean, she could have stayed there in Moab. What's the big deal? Did you know that woman right there is going to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ? Did you know that woman right there? That woman right there is going to be she's going to be the great-grandmother of King David. I guess it's important they made it, huh? They said, these people, if they didn't, you might say, what's Clark doing? He's an idiot today talking about this stuff on Mother's Day. Let me tell you something. If it wasn't for these people right here, you wouldn't have a Savior, friend. Because Jesus Christ came through this line. Is it? Don't find that? People need you. People are counting on you. Remember your roots today. I'm done, Raj. What we got? Let's look at them again. Say them with me if you don't mind. How do you endure difficulties? If you don't mind, say them. Here we go. Number one, know that
God still loves you.
Number two, be careful not to overlook the people that love you and care about you. Number three, don't allow disappointments to blind you to the opportunities for healing. Number four, don't hide your pain. And number five, take personal responsibility. Look at the last verse. Springtime. Have you been seeing the flowers lately? It's pretty, isn't it? Springtime. It seems like springtime in Florida all the time. I just made it back up to Carolina. Came through there and, you know, the dogwoods and springtime. 1:22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem. In the beginning of what? Barley harvest. I want to tell you today again, Mama, pop it up, Raj. The flowers will bloom again. The flowers will bloom again. You might be hurting today, and I don't know why I preach this message today. It's just part of the book. We can't get into the book without getting to the ugly stuff. Okay? But if you're here today and hurting desperately, listen, or you might be in the future, remember, the flowers will bloom again. Amen? The flowers will bloom again. And you know, I lost Mama 12 years ago and in a horrible murder. But don't you know, the flowers are blooming in my life. Wonderful wife, wonderful children, a wonderful legacy that my mother left me, a wonderful church. You know what I'm saying? Am I over it? Am I enduring? Sure. And I'm seeing the flowers bloom. Amen? So maybe this message is just for me today. Okay? But if it's for you, you grab on to it. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for listening today.